To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood and has made us kings and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Word of God for our consideration today is written in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. The Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow redeemed, the year was 1945. In a bombed-out city of Germany, there stood the broken-down debris of an old historic church building. Its brick walls had been collapsed. Its ornate ceiling had been caved in. But amazingly, the altar up front had remained virtually untouched. Untouched, that is, except for one feature. The uplifted hands of the Jesus statue had been broken off. At the war's end, the congregation members held a meeting to discuss possible rebuilding plans, and a question that came up in the course of the meeting was, what should we do with the Jesus statue whose hands have been broken off? Someone said, well, I think we should probably remove it and replace it with a new statue. Someone else wondered whether it might be better to keep the old statue and hire a sculptor to repair its damaged hands. Another person offered up an idea. This is the one that actually got the most votes. Why don't we just leave the statue as is? It can serve as a continual reminder of God's love for us during the war in keeping us safe. And it could also remind us that Jesus has no hands on earth to carry on his work, but ours. Now, if I'd been at that meeting, I'm not sure which of the proposals I would have cast my vote for, but the last one certainly was a worthy one. I do not think that God's people can be reminded too frequently of God's love in having his son, Jesus, go to war for us on Good Friday against the old evil foe and to defeat him, atoning for all of our sins and bringing our souls under the safety of his everlasting protective care, and is calling us to labor for him in his kingdom with thankful hearts and willing hands. Today's text is going to underscore that truth for us, and we want to prayerfully consider it today under the theme, the Lord has chosen us to do his work. By grace he chose us, And he promises us to be with us and bless our work in his name, and he also gives us the words to say. Now, as noted, the author of our text was Jeremiah, prophet of God. He lived roughly 600 years before Jesus and actually lived to witness the demolition of that old historic temple building of Solomon at Jerusalem by the invading Babylonian armies. The Holy Spirit inspired Jeremiah at the very beginning of his quite lengthy book to share a little biographical information about himself. We're told that he was the son of a priest of Judah whose name was Hilkiah. He lived in a town located about 2.5 miles northeast of Jerusalem called Anatoth. He served as a prophet for probably over 40 years, starting, as it says here, in the reign of Josiah, through the reign of Jehoiakim, into the 11th year of the reign of Zedekiah, who was the king that was reigning when the Babylonian armies invaded and pillaged the city and its temple. How did Jeremiah get to be a prophet? Well, we're told in our text that it was during Josiah's reign, when Jeremiah was still very young, perhaps early 20s, the Lord came to him and said, "Before I formed you in the womb and before you were born, I knew you, and I set you apart and appointed you to serve me as a prophet." Why is that significant? Shows and demonstrates, friends, that the Lord chose Jeremiah to be his servant and labor for him in his kingdom 100% by his grace. That is undeserved love. I mean, since he selected him before he was even born, it's clear he didn't contribute anything towards his being selected. It was at the outset of his ministry, during which that lengthy ministry he would experience many difficult trials and heartbreaks, that the Lord wanted him to know, wanted him to be comforted, to know that God chose me before I was ever born. My almighty gracious Lord, he's the one who's appointed me for his work. The Lord wants you and me to have that same blessed assurance today in the work to which we've been called, whether we serve him in the public ministry, maybe as a Sunday school teacher or as a pastor, whether we're lay people who serve him in the congregation. The Lord wants us to think about this and to be comforted by this, that he knew you before he knit you together in your mother's womb. He handpicked you to work for him in his kingdom 100% by his grace, not because you or I deserved it. All this, of course, flies, doesn't it, in the face of the world's way of operating and the business world. People are chosen, aren't they, for positions, for promotions, for work assignments, for raises, based on their level of performance. Pro athletes, same thing. Chosen to be on the team, to be starters at quarterback in the Super Bowl, or as wide receiver or running back, based on their skill set. With God, it's different. As we sing in one of our hymns, "Lord, 'tis not that I did choose thee, that I know could never be, for this heart would still refuse thee had thy grace not chosen me. Thou hast from the sin that stained me washed and cleansed and set me free, and unto this end ordained me that I ever live, that I ever serve thee." The Lord chooses people to be his and to serve him in his kingdom. He also then promises to be with them and to bless their work. In our text, we note how Jeremiah, when he first got the call from the Lord to serve him as a prophet, he responded, "Ah, Lord, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child." In other words, Jeremiah was saying, "I'm way underqualified, ill-equipped. I'm incompetent for this." But note the Lord's answer. Do not say, I'm a child, Jeremiah. You shall go to all whom I send you. Do not be afraid, for I am going to be with you. I'm going to give success to your labors carried out in my name. There are other examples in the Bible of the same truth being presented. We could point to some of them. You'll remember of God reassuring his reluctant children who were feeling totally unfit for service that they could indeed go to work for the Lord. Moses, remember Moses at the burning bush? Who am I, Lord, that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I lack eloquence. I'm inarticulate. Send anybody but me. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Moses, is it not I, the Lord? So go. I will be with you. Moses' successor, another example, Joshua, to whom the Lord gave the big task of filling Moses' shoes, and who likely wondered about his ability to do that. And the Lord said to him, this is in Joshua chapter 1, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And one other example from the New Testament, our congregation's namesake, Paul, who encountered stiff opposition during his ministry in the Greek city of Corinth. The Lord said to Paul, this is in Acts 18, do not be afraid, Paul, keep on speaking, do not be silent, for I will be with you. No one will attack or harm you, and I have many people in this city. Dear friends, that's the same gracious promise that the Lord of the church gives to each of us, to you fathers and you mothers, in the great work of instructing his lambs in his ways, training them up in the scriptures, to you Sunday school teachers, in your work of instructing his lambs in your classes, to you church officers in the work to which you've been called, and some of whom will be installed in the service later today, to the ladies in the work that they do in the congregation, to all lay Christians in your work of sharing the words of eternal life in Christ with your friends or family, with your work colleagues, and the people that you meet. Jesus says to you, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that is true regardless of results that we can or cannot measure statistically. As we read on in the book of Jeremiah, from outward appearances, I'm sure it may have seemed to him that he was an abject failure. So many turned a deaf ear to his call to repentance that he preached in Jesus' name. One point they even got so angry, kind of like with Jesus at Nazareth, they grabbed hold of him and threw him down into a cistern, leaving him for dead until someone came and rescued him. Jeremiah endured a lot for the Lord, and yet he was comforted by the promise of the Lord's presence and his blessing. And there was a believing remnant, as there always is, who took God's words to heart. Words like those recorded in chapter 31, a very sweet prophecy of the coming Messiah, where Jeremiah wrote, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God, they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more in the coming Savior in whom they had placed their trust. And so too in the work of the Lord that he's given to each of us, though it may seem daunting, living as we do in an evil world with societal evils multiplying and feeling like fish swimming upstream against the godlessness of a wicked world, The Savior promises to bless the labors of our hands on behalf of the precious souls that he died for on Calvary's cross. Finally, let's consider this morning how the one who chose us by grace to be his and calls us to serve him tells us what to say. After calling Jeremiah as prophet and promising to be with him and to bless his work, we're told that he reached out, touched Jeremiah's mouth, and said, "Behold, I've put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and the kingdoms to root out, pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant." So he was informing and assuring Jeremiah things that the Lord would give to him to say, which basically the message of the law, which the Lord would use to break down the mountains of human pride, to lead sinners to despair of their own moral goodness and see their need for a divine Savior, Jesus. And then the central message of the Bible, which is the gospel. Remember what the word gospel means? Good news. Which he would use to comfort repentant hearts, heal those burdened by guilt, build up and strengthen faith, and plant people into the lovely garden of the holy Christian church with Jesus serving as head and cornerstone. This is the message God has given us to share too, as a congregation and as individual Christians. The law message: if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And the gospel: if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And to know that it was not with perishable things, as Peter writes in his letter, like silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world and has been revealed in these last times for your sake. And don't be surprised, friends, when the Lord blesses you with opportunities for sharing these words of the Bible with others. An example that I might share with you, I think I shared this in a sermon some years back, actually, I still remember it, of when I paid a visit to Home Depot to pick up a piece of hardware. And I was walking down the aisle, a worker came over to me and asked, "What do you do for a living? By the coat you're wearing, I'm guessing that you maybe do some kind of clerical work." I told him, "Well, you're close. I'm a pastor." When he mentioned that he and his wife were recently blessed with a new baby, I was able to share how Jesus, our good shepherd, laid down his life for his sheep and gives to parents the awesome privilege of raising his lambs for him. Situations like that, you probably have some too, might wonder, "Well, what am I going to say?" Isn't it good to know the Lord promises to provide words that he will use from your mouth to provide others with spiritual direction and blessing for their lives? So let's thank the Lord for that. Thank him for the blessing of those opportunities. Let's keep our eyes open for those and for the Lord calling us by his grace to labor for him in his kingdom and with a glad heart and willing hands for his praise and our own great joy. Amen. Please rise. May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, and renew our right spirit within.
Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.